Pastor George here. I wanted to take a second and thank you for checking out our online messages. Our prayer is that this resource will challenge you, encourage you, and empower you as you dig deeper in your relationship with Christ. But in no way will it replace God's plan for your active involvement in a local church. I do want to take a second and ask you to prayerfully consider, as you participate and listen to this resource, partnering with Revive as we pursue our mission of seeing people live their fullest life in Christ. You can do this by going online to revivechurchga.com/give and making a one-time donation or setting up a recurring gift. It's through the generosity of others that we're able to provide a resource like this one. With that being said, I do want to thank you again, and here is today's message. Last week we started a series exploring Lent, and this was because we wanted to talk about Ash Wednesday before we got there. Now, like we started off last week, we kind of talked about Lent and Ash Wednesday as comparing it to birthdays, right? It's kind of like these special days, birthdays or anniversaries, these days that we set aside to celebrate or honor or cherish our loved ones. Now, you don't just love your significant other on your anniversary. You don't just honor your kids on their birthday. You do this all the time. It's a habit, or should be a habit, of your heart. But we have these days throughout the year that we set aside to focus and highlight what is already a habit of the heart. And that's what Lent is, okay? It's this season of refocusing and figuring out and focusing on what is already a rhythm of the heart. So last week we talked about it being a rhythm of remembrance and remembering our brokenness and the brevity of life, because as we remember those things, they drive us to repentance. And on the other side of repentance, we remember our blessing and the abundant life that comes through Christ. Today, I want to continue that thought process and talk about Lent, not just as a rhythm of remembrance, but a rhythm of renewal, a rhythm of renewal. So if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let me take this time to remind you that tonight kicks off our Bible study through the book of Revelation. Lucinda is leading us in that. We're going to meet every other week, Sunday nights at 5. So if you have signed up, tonight's the night. Be here for that at 5 o'clock. If you haven't signed up and you're interested, you're still allowed to come and be a part of that, okay? So we're going to start diving into the God's Word together, working through the book of Revelation. I challenge you and encourage you to be there. That said, I'm going to be reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the screen, I've got a different version than I'm reading, because as I was going back over this reading this morning, I like this version better. So you can follow along there, but I'm reading from a different from what's on the screen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lamps. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them to be false. You have persevered and you have endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place. Okay, so Revelation can be kind of crazy. What's all this deal with the lampstands and the seven? Here's what I want you to do. Come to the Bible study. We'll talk about this stuff, okay? But what's going on here, as we've reached this part in the letter where John has a message for the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And each church, God is giving John this vision of a message from Jesus given to an angel, and that angel is supposed to take the message to these churches. So people are going to get this letter, and they're going to read it, And there's going to be instruction from Jesus to them as a church body. And so this church in Ephesus is going to receive this letter that is supposed to be from Jesus to them. And it starts out celebrating their wins. Jesus says, I see what you have been going through. I see that these false teachers and these evil people have come in and they've tried to penetrate the church, and you have seen them for who they are and you have not allowed it. You have stayed strong and you have stood for truth. I've seen that you have loved your neighbor and you have sacrificed and you have given and you have treated them like you would treat me. And because of the way you are living, the world has actually come in and now you have faced persecution and incredible suffering. And I see that you have persevered and you have endured through that suffering. And all of this is great. And he celebrates all this in him. But then he says, yet I have this against you. As time has moved on, as you have faced these hardships, you have begun to drift. And you have abandoned your first love. Here's my call. Here's Jesus's call to the church in Ephesus. And I think it's his call to us today as followers of Jesus. Turn back to your first love. Repent and renew your commitment to Christ. Now, I am an avid sports fan. Not necessarily a big basketball fan. Like, I get updates and keep up with the Hawks, but I haven't actually watched a real game this season, okay? But I like basketball. But being a sports fan, I'm well aware of Michael Jordan. You guys know Michael Jordan? Yes? No? Okay. If you haven't had a chance to watch The Last Dance, it's an incredible documentary. Watch The Last Dance. Michael Jordan in 1993 was at the height of his career. Like, pinnacle athlete. He is where, he's like in this prime where people start watching athletes. This is when they are going to do their best. Like, when they first break into the league, they have to learn. Then as they get old, they don't perform quite as well. They look like LeBron today, right? But there's this point where Michael Jordan is absolutely at his peak, okay? And everybody can't believe it. It's 93. He has just finished a three-peat. He has taken the Bulls and won three NBA championships in a row, and the world cannot believe it. They are talking about, could this young Jordan, could this man be the greatest basketball player of all time? Can he take the Bulls and win a fourth championship? Does he have that ability? The world is watching, and he is at the height of his career. And then tragedy strikes. His father is tragically murdered, and Jordan doesn't know how to respond. He feels lost, disconnected, tired, and so he does the unthinkable. He walks away, hangs up the sneakers, retires at the height of his career. And sure, he dabbles in baseball for a bit, but it wasn't his calling. He spends 2 years navigating the season, drifting away from the sport and the life he knew, feeling lost and confused, not knowing what is next. But then in 1995, something changed. And he realized that basketball was still in him. And he had unfinished business. So in one of the greatest press moments in all of sports, Jordan announces his return with two words, I'm back. You see it on clips all the time now. I'm back. The return was slow at first. If you don't know this, professional athletes, they eat, sleep, drink, dream, everything about their sport. But Jordan had not played basketball in 2 years, so he was not in good form. The return was slow. He struggled. His team struggled. People doubted him. They said, is Jordan ever going to be back to old form? Has he gone too far? He won't be the same. Is he going to be able to do it? And amidst all of these doubts, the ones that were other people had about him, the ones he had about himself, he did not let those cause him to give up. No, he renewed his commitment to the game of basketball. He trained harder than he had ever done. He refined his skills and rediscovered his love for the game. The next year in 96, he led the Bulls not just to win the championship, but to have one of the greatest seasons in NBA history. And he kicked off his second three-peat. They went on to win three more consecutive championships. Now, Jordan is not even talked about as the greatest basketball player, but the greatest athlete of all time. He's in one of those categories. because he recommitted. He renewed his love for the game of basketball. How often have we found ourselves feeling lost, disconnected, and tired? How often have we found ourselves like the church in Ephesus, having done a good job, having endured, having loved our neighbor as ourselves, having followed Jesus, we fought the good fight, and then something happens. Tragedy strikes. Life, the mundaneness, the everyday parts of life causes us to drift away, to lose the drive, to lose that passion, the get up, the gumption that we had to follow Jesus when we first fell in love with him. How often has our love for him wavered? The key for Jordan was a renewed love for the game of basketball. And the same is true for you and I. The key to our renewed life in Christ, the way we end and finish well to fight the good fight, is a renewed love in the Jesus Christ, our Savior, who went to the cross and died for the forgiveness of our sins, shed his blood that we might be healed and have a transformed life. We must renew that inside of us. Lent is a time where we can set aside and focus in and renew that love for Christ. Listen, it's not about being legalistic. We'll talk more about this later in the series. We talked about it last week. I don't care if you fast on Fridays, if you fast on Wednesdays, if you fast every day, one meal, three meals, that stuff does not matter. What matters is that we find a time, whether you participate in Lent, go to Ash Wednesday service, whatever it is, that we find a time to renew our love for Christ. Because renewal is vital for a lifelong commitment to the Lord. Why is renewal important? If you're taking notes and you're that type of person, you could take notes here. This is the first point. Renewal is vital because we drift, and renewal refocuses us. We drift and renewal refocuses us. Lauren and I have a great marriage. I love our marriage. Our relationship is one of the highlights of my life. But it is not always smooth, okay? There are times where we argue and we butt heads. But we persevere in that because we have this all-in mentality. And this all-in mentality actually started when we were dating, because we would have these fights. So early relationship for us, we would be great for a while. And then we would hit some kind of roadblock. And we would argue and we would bicker. And it was just like all, you know what, would break loose. And we would just butt heads, and we'd have these roadblocks, and we couldn't get through them. And then finally, we'd figure out a way to get through it, and we would learn what we need to do, and it often involves compromise. I would have to do something. She would have to do something. We'd have to create new habits, let go of old habits. And so we would work it out. We would figure out a way forward, and we would be good. And then after like a month or so, we'd find ourselves having that same fight over again. Because we had slowly drifted back to the way we were. One of the early ones for us is her love language is quality time. That was the last one for me. I didn't need to be together 24/7 to feel like I was loved. It was acts of service. And so she was doing all kinds of things to speak my love language, but I wasn't speaking hers. And so we would have fights because I would want to go play basketball with my friends, or go play disc golf with my friends, or go do something with my friends. And she would get jealous and get angry. And I realized the reason she would get like that was because I was not treating her with love in the other times. I was not speaking her love language. I was not being intentional to spend quality time with her. And so I had to make the effort to plan dates. I had to make the effort to make sure that when we were together, it was intentional. We weren't just hanging out with a group of friends. And it would be great. And I remember one time we're sitting at this coffee shop working on homework, and we start to have this same fight because I hadn't planned a date in like 3 months. I hadn't been speaking her language. And she is mad and frustrated and doesn't feel loved. And I had to be like, look, I'm sorry. I repent, okay? I know that I'm wrong. I know we have talked about this, and I know that I have drifted back to the old way. I'm all in. I promise that I want to be with you the rest of my life. I'm all in on this relationship, and I will do better. I will refocus. I will renew my commitment. So this all-in phrase became something that we said to each other often in our dating relationship. Relationships need this. In order to grow together, we must constantly say that we are all in. We must constantly renew our commitment to each other. All long-term relationships have these peaks and valleys, times where we are passionate and there's lots of vigor and excitement and motivation, but then there's times where it kind of dulls out. We find ourselves drifting away and we have to renew that commitment. Our relationship with God is the same way. Like all great loves, it has its peaks and its valleys. Along the way, we begin to lose the passion. We get this idea of been there, done that. We begin to grow self-interested. These old sins begin to creep their way back in. Lent is a chance to renew that love, to renew that passion, to recall that commitment back to Christ, to return to our original love. The message to the church in our text today is a renewal, is a call back to our love through repentance. So I ask you, where are you today? Where are you right now? Has the busyness and the mundaneness of life crept back in? Have you been caught up in the current, drifting away from your first love? Are you just going through the motions? Are you in the valley? My call this morning is a chance to recommit and renew our love for Christ, to step in and refocus from our drift. One of the reasons we find ourselves drifting, and this is the second point, is because life is hard. Life is hard. But renewal helps us build resilience. Jordan lost his focus after his dad was murdered. The church in our text today has faced suffering and persecution. And these things have caused them to drift away from the Lord. We have all endured seasons of suffering, times where we find ourselves asking the question, really, God? Again? Another thing that has happened to me? Why is this keep happening? Haven't I been through enough? And in these seasons of suffering, they can pull us away from our Creator God, the great Comforter, the one who has meaning and purpose for us. It can pull us away from Him, cause us to drift, cause us to abandon our first love. A loved one experienced some kind of pain or suffering, or we lose them to a tragic way, and we find ourselves running from the pain, trying to escape and miss whatever discomfort is on that side. And then while we are running, we realize that we're not just missing the pain, but we are missing life. We are missing our kids growing up. We are missing a deeper relationship with our spouse. We are missing the purpose and calling for our career because we're trying to run from the pain, and in avoiding that, we avoid the life that is before us. Pain and suffering can so easily pull us in the wrong direction. But what if it didn't have to? What if the struggles deepened our faith rather than destroyed it? What if our struggles caused us to go all in, to double down our efforts, to renew our commitments? How many of you have heard of Malala Yousafzai? I probably butchered that, okay? I've practiced it 100 times. It's hard to say. All right, I'm going to just call her by her first name, Malala, because it's easy to say, all right? Malala was a teenage girl in the Pakistan Swat Valley where the Taliban had banned girls from getting an education. And she was so passionate, even as a young teenager, about girls being educated that she didn't just attend school. She became a vocal advocate for her and her peers' education. And then in 2012, when she was just 15 years old, a Taliban gunman boarded her school bus and shot her in the head. Miraculously, Malala survived. She was airlifted to the UK for treatment. And as she survived this, not only did she recover, but she emerged stronger than ever. After such a tragedy, after such an act of violence, she could have easily disappeared into the shadows. She could have continued to pursue her education, but she didn't have to be vocal and fight for the other peers and the other girls in her villages. She didn't have to stand up and make a scene. She could have easily shied away, and none of us would have judged her. Could you imagine the suffering and the mental torment that she went through, the worry and the anxiety she must have faced? But her tragedy didn't cause her to run. Her tragedy became her fuel. She co-founded the Malala Fund. She wrote a best-selling book. And at the age of 17, she became the youngest person to ever win the Nobel Peace Prize. Renewal is more than just refocusing from our drift. Renewal builds resilience. Her story is a testament to the power of renewal. Instead of allowing this violence to silence her, she used it as a catalyst for greater impact. Your life has a meaning. You have a calling. I don't care if you are young or old, if you are a new believer or you've been in the faith for a long time. I don't care if you don't even follow Jesus yet. You have been created on purpose with a purpose. And the enemy will do whatever he can to get you away from that. He will throw fiery dart after fiery dart, and he will hit you with whatever he can to keep you from fulfilling that purpose, from finding the meaning of your life. And the way we refuse to let those attacks have an impact is by getting right back up and saying, I'm back. I am all in. You cannot stop me. I am recommitting and renewing my commitment to Christ. I believe that he has a calling on my life, and I'm going to walk in that calling despite what has happened to me. He is my comforter. He is my rock. He is my salvation. And he allows me to move forward despite what you might throw at me. So again, I ask you, church, where are you today? Where are you right now? Have you allowed suffering? Have you allowed tragedy? Have you allowed hardship to pull you away from your calling, to pull you away from Christ? If yes, the time is now for a renewed commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Renewal is vital because it allows us to refocus from the drift. Because it allows us to become resilient when life is difficult. And thirdly, renewal is vital because we fail. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you are going to mess up. You are going to fall short. We fail, but renewal allows us, and renewal redefines our failure. One of my favorite stories in scriptures is from John 21. Peter is one of Jesus' most vocal and passionate followers. He's the one that jumps up and cuts the ear off of a guard as they approach Jesus. And Jesus is like, Peter, chill, and has to pick up the ear and heal it, right? He has his foot in his mouth because he is so on fire for Christ. And he's so excited that the Messiah has come. And he is one of Jesus' right-hand men. Like he is one of the disciples, one of Jesus' inner three. Yet after Holy Week and after Jesus has been carried away by these guards, Peter finds himself denying his best friend. He finds himself betraying Jesus. And the moment that rooster crows and he realizes that this is right, that he has once again betrayed Jesus three times, he finds himself in that shame and that guilt and that discomfort. And so he decides, I'm going fishing. There's another disciple that betrayed Jesus. You've probably heard of him, Judas. Judas, after betraying Jesus, feels that same guilt and shame. The Bible actually tells us that he goes out and takes his own life. Peter didn't do that. Peter actually goes on to plant the church. Not a church, the church. The same man who's denying that he even knows Jesus to three individuals stands up in Acts 2 in front of thousands of people and calls them to repentance and to follow Jesus, and they listen. The same man who is denying Jesus, betraying his best friend, ends up being crucified but refuses to die the same way his Savior does. So church history tells us that he actually asked to be crucified upside down. Not having the nails go through his wrists and feet, but being tied to the cross. How do we have a difference? How does Peter end up there and not like Judas? Because in John 21, Peter has a moment where he is restored. Peter has a moment where he renews his commitment to the cause of Christ. He's gone out fishing, and I love to read this story because it doesn't say these words, but I get this vibe, okay? He's gone into this dark place from knowing he's betrayed Jesus. So he says, I'm going fishing. And his buddies are like, we're going too, all right? We know that you are suffering. We know that you are in this dark place. We know that you feel this guilt and this shame. We're not going to let you go out alone, okay? The text doesn't say that. I just feel like that's what's going on, okay? Let me preface that. So his buddies, they all go out, and they're out in this boat, and they're fishing. And it has this moment that mirrors when they first got called to follow Christ. They see a man on shore, and he tells them to throw the nets off the other side, and they're able to bring in so many fish they can't lift the net up. And Peter immediately realizes that it's Jesus, that he sees the resurrected Savior on the shore. And he hid in the back. He could have shrunk down. But what did he do? If you read the story, it says he leaped from the boat. He didn't wait for it to get to shore. He swam back to Jesus. He swam back to his Savior. And what did Jesus do when he got to the shore? Peter, get away from me. I know what you did. No, Jesus threw his arms around Peter and embraced him. The greatest bro hug of all time. Telling him, demonstrating that I love you despite what you have done. He fixed him breakfast that he knew was going to happen. They shared a meal together. And after they had this meal, Peter and Jesus are having this conversation, and Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? And Peter sees the picture about how three times he betrayed Jesus, and there's this moment of restoration. Jesus doesn't just let Peter get off scot-free. He brings up, he reminds him of his where he has failed, but he reminds him of this failure not to shame him, but to restore him. Jesus reminds Peter of his failure, not to rub it in his face, but to remind him that failure does not define him. Failure does not change his value. Failure does not remove his calling. His failure does not have to be the end of his story. Peter renews his commitment to Jesus and is restored and goes on to impact thousands and thousands of lives. Renewal redefines our failure. Your failure in Christ does not have to be final. It is a way forward. Did you screw up? Have you made some grave error? Did you turn back to the same old sin? The way I see it is you have two choices. Let that failure be final. Throw in the towel and give up. Or jump off that boat and turn to Jesus and renew your commitment to him. I hope that you see this morning, as we come to the close, that a lifelong walk with Christ requires a heart of renewal, one that is always refocusing, resetting, and redefining. If you find yourself in a valley, if you find yourself drifting away from him, you don't have to stay there. You can turn back to Christ. How do you renew your walk with Christ? The answer is the same call that's given to this church in Ephesus. Remember how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did before. We like to shy away from that word, but it comes up often in Lent. Last week, this week, and we'll see it some more. Repentance is how we renew our faith in Christ. Repentance is turning back to Jesus. It's following in the steps of Peter and jumping from that boat that has drifted off and returning to your Savior. It's following in the footprints of the prodigal son who returned home. It's returning to our Father. It's going back to what we talked about last week and tearing our hearts, surrendering the areas of our life that we've taken back and returning to Jesus. Walking in the meaning and the calling that your life has doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentionality. If you do not have regular practices of renewing your commitment to Christ, why not start today? Why not start with Lent? Find a way to fast. If it's giving up chocolate or a drink or a meal, or if it's one day a week or 3 days a week or all 40 days, whatever it is, It does not matter. We're not talking about being legalistic. We're talking about finding ways to give something up in order to add moments with Christ. Renewal is about returning the practices that keep us spiritually alive. Yes, we're giving something up, but we also want to add scripture reading or prayer, or communion, loving our neighbor. The message this morning is a call to renewal. Lent's not just about giving something up, but about returning to our first love. Jesus calls us to remember, repent, and renew. And where have you drifted? Where do you need renewal? Don't stay in the boat this morning. Leap toward Jesus and let him renew you. We normally have a time of prayer after worship before the sermon. You probably noticed we didn't do that today. All right, that's because I want to do it now. I want to end our service with this time of prayer. You don't have to stand up. The altars are open. You don't have to come to the altars. You can stay in your chair. The song is like 4 minutes long. But I want to give us the opportunity, a space where we can repent and we can renew our commitment to Christ. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. Jonathan's going to play the song, Dim the Lights. When it's over and we've had this time of recommitting and renewal, I'll come up and close us in prayer. All right, let's pray.